Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Glory to God. Let's go in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8 this morning. And we left off there last Sunday morning. And we were teaching on the helper and how the Holy Spirit's our helper. And so I'm gonna look at some things, and amen, thank God for His goodness, amen? Yes. Amen. Let's pray just a minute. Father, thank You for Your strength and Your anointing and Your glory. We give You praise and thanksgiving for it. Thank God that we are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Amen. And we flow with Your anointing and with Your strength, both spiritually and physically today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Romans chapter 8, go there if you would. We are talking about the Holy Spirit and His work in our life. And I'm just going to share a few things with you. I don't think I'm going to go very long here this morning, but what I'm going to say is important. You know, when we get born again, the Holy Spirit, He comes and lives inside of us. And He immediately starts to help us. And so I just want to, we talked about that, how Jesus said, the King James Bible uses the word comfort, I'll give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. And that word comforter, the New King James uses the word helper, which is, you know, comforters, it's a Greek word, paraclete, and comforter, it means comforter. But it also means a strengthener. It can mean an intercessor. It can mean someone who's on standby. But it also means helper. And so it has different meanings to it. So you can kind of see all that in that word. And the King James decided to use the word comforter, which is a good word to use to describe the Holy Spirit. But, you know, I'm talking about the helper and how He helps us. And so what I want to talk about this morning is about how He'll help you in life by giving you direction and guidance. Amen? So let's go here to Romans chapter 8. Y'all with me this morning?
Yes.
Thank you. Verse 14, the Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Well, praise the Lord. That, you know, and the word sons there literally means mature sons. So it's not just like, you know, if you're born again, you're a child of God. How many know that? But if you're led by the Spirit, if the Spirit starts leading your life, He'll grow you up. He'll grow you up. And so He went on to say, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You know, the most important thing you're ever going to know in life is that you're born again. Amen. You're a child of God. Amen. That's the most important thing. And, you know, I know I'm born again because the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm right with God. And I didn't have that witness before I saved. But once I got saved, I got the witness of the Spirit. I'm born again. Hallelujah. 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 Now, we're just going to just talk a little bit this morning. Is this all right? I'm just going to talk to you about Him leading you a little bit. If the most important thing that's ever going to happen to you, the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit about it, well, then He would bear witness with your spirit about a lot of things. He would give you direction. See, God leads us by what we call the inward witness, for the most part. That means His spirit bears witness with our spirit. You know, He doesn't lead us. Now, we have supernatural things like Brother Kenny was talking about. We have those things occasionally, don't we?
Amen.
You know, I've had dreams, prophetic dreams. I remember when I first started to work there in Huntingburg, Pastor Jerry, I asked a couple to come and help me, you know, and then they said they wouldn't do it. Now, they would not in a mean way. They just said, you know, we're busy in ministry and we can't come and help you start the work. And then I talked with the pastor and he said, yeah, I'll help you get that going, you know. And then I had a prophetic dream And in the dream, I won't go into the dream, but in the dream, the Lord showed me, said, the pastor that said he's going to help you, he's not going to help you. The couple that said they're not going to help you, they're going to help you. Well, it turned out just like God said. Hallelujah. And he told me, he said, I'm going to bring the, Phyllis might have to help me. This has been a number of years ago this happened. And, you know, I noticed when Kenny's talking about those of us that are getting older, he kept looking at me and Phyllis. But anyway, well, yeah, we all are. Amen. And he's right. You know, someday y'all going to be running the church. Some of you young folks going to be doing all of that. Well, not that you don't now. You know, you do now. But, I mean, the buck's going to stop with you. Amen. And so, you know, God showed me that the wind, the fire, and the rain were coming to the land. And, man, we had a move of God. Just like he said, the wind, the fire, and the rain came to the land. And he showed me that all prophetic. But did you know what? He doesn't lead you that way most of the time. Amen. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, you know, have a black cat running out in front of my car if this is a view. Well, you know, the devil could scurry that cat out there. You don't go by that. You go by the word of God, first of all. And then you go by the inward witness. What's the inward witness? It's hard to explain the inward witness. It's just I know that I know. I just know. Something inside of me just knows. It's the Holy Spirit. You just feel good inside about it. Or maybe you don't feel good about it. You know, it's the Holy Spirit witnessing to your spirit. And so God wants to lead and guide us. And when we let him lead and guide us, praise God, we're gonna come into some good things. Amen. Hallelujah. See, now let me give you this now. See, you know, sometimes we think, you know, if it's God, it's going to be some major thing. Well, like we said, there's times that I've had, you know, there's basically three ways the Lord leads you. He leads you by the inward witness, that just something, sometimes we say something saying to me. Yeah. I got this intuition. Well, that's the inward witness. Then there's the inward voice where the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. That's a little stronger. Amen. Amen. That's stronger, see? You know, so, you know, there's that times. And then sometimes we do have supernatural things happen where God leads us. But all of that's got to line up with the Word. Amen. Amen? Amen? And so sometimes that happens. Now, that doesn't happen as much, but mostly, generally, he just, you know, nudges you on the inside. Hallelujah. You know, and you read through the book of Acts. The book of Acts says that they said, it seemed good to us. Acts 15, it seemed good to us. Silas said it seemed good to him. And then Luke, when he was talking about writing the book of Luke, he said that it seemed good to him to do it. Now, you'd think something as important as writing a book in the Bible, God would have sent an angel down. I mean, writing the book of Luke's pretty important, wouldn't you say? How many like the book of Luke? The book of Luke's a good book. But the book of Luke, when you read the first three verses, Luke just lets it be known that he said it just seemed right. It seemed good to me to do this. Well, it was the Lord, wasn't it? I said it was the Lord. You know, and I've had that where, you know, it just seemed right, just seemed good to me. But then I've had times when it was a stronger voice, you know. And then I've had those supernatural things, you know, where you had a supernatural. All of it has to line up with God's Word. Amen. I don't, you know, I've had prophetic words from people. Some were right. Some were wrong. I never just based my life on some prophetic word I got. I'll let it enhance it, but I'm not going to move on it just because somebody said, yea, the Lord says thou art to go to Africa. I don't think so. I always tell people, if you go because the prophet told you to go to Africa, you better take the prophet with you so you'll know when to come home. Because you're going to be coming home. Because it has to be the Holy Ghost, right? Amen. See, the Bible tells us to judge prophecy. Why would we judge prophecy? Because sometimes people miss it. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. If the last election taught us anything, it taught us people miss it. Right? How many prophetic words were wrong? Most of them. See, that's why you got to watch it. See, you can prophesy out of your own heart, your own spirit, what you want to see. I remember several elections ago, you know, all of us believers were excited about, because we thought we was going to see some radical change in America in the White House, you know, and the guy that was the president was in there, personally, I didn't care for his policies and the things that he was doing. So us believers were excited about it. We were excited, guys, that God's going to change this. Praise God. And I remember Dr. Barclay saying, "You're not going to be happy." You know, I wanted to, you know, he's my pastor, so we'll do it. But I wanted to, like, rebuke that in Jesus' name. You know what? Turned out he was right. I wasn't happy. Well, why? Well, see, you know, that's what my heart wanted to see. That's what was my, but you can't put "thus saith the Lord" on what you want. It got quiet on that, but I remember when he gave, and I told some of my friends, they said, "Oh, yeah, this one's going to win." I said, "Well, Doc said we're not going to be happy, so evidently they're not going to win." Now, you know, he was right. It turned out just like what he said. And so my point is, see, a lot of times people have things in their heart and they speak that out, and it's just their heart. It's what they want. It's not what the Lord said. But I'll tell you one thing, that inward witness, that's a powerful thing to have in your life. Amen. I said amen. Amen. So you got quiet on that, but if the last election proved anything to us, it proved to us that you have to judge prophetic words. Well, all right. And here's the thing. Don't judge those people. Everybody misses it. Amen. You miss it. I miss it. We all miss it. That's why Paul said, judge it. He said, let the prophets judge that. Amen. All right. See, if everybody was right, COVID wouldn't be around any longer. I don't know how many prophets I heard say it's going to be gone by April. Well, that was like 2 Aprils ago. Some of y'all are looking down like, "I can't believe Pastor said." Well, let's just be honest about things. How about that? Let's just say that wasn't God. That's pretty easy to judge. Amen. You know, you could prophesy, "Well, pastor's going to leave here and he's going to go have steak." No, I'm going to have Mexican. You missed it. You know, well, it ain't over yet. No, it's not over yet, but we'll see. Amen. Now, let me talk to you about this. Listen, the Holy Spirit, when he comes in, he wants to lead our lives. He wants to guide us. And let me give you, and I know this isn't going to be a run-jump message, but I think he's going to help us this morning. But let me give you three areas that we're not supposed to be led by. You want to hear these?
Yes.
Number one, we're not supposed to be led by ourselves. Did you know that Jeremiah said it's not in man to direct his steps? So we're not supposed to lead our own lives. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, that everything in life that God's going to tell us, he didn't tell me what tie to put on today. I didn't ask him what suit. I'm not, you know, I don't ask him what restaurant to go to. Now, he could tell me that. He could want me to go to a certain one because he's got something for me to do there or something in his plan. But generally, he just lets me pick whether it's going to be Chinese or, you know, steak or, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? People get they get kind of flaky with this sometimes. Like, you know, I pray about everything. I pray about, you know, what shoes I'm to wear and so forth. And, you know, we had a lady come to church one time. She had one collar shoe on and the other collar shoe on. She didn't even notice till she got here. But if she'd have been praying and asking the Lord, well, she could have got direction then. How many know we just, God's not, that's not important.
Come on.
I said, that's not important. But there are things in our life that are important that he wants to guide us.
Yeah.
So we're not supposed to lead ourselves. No, we don't just make our own decisions. Number two, we're not supposed to be led by our flesh or our emotions. I'll tell you now, right now, that is a hard one sometimes to discern when it's just you, your emotions are excited, and when it's the Lord. That is why sometimes if it's big direction, give it some time. How many ever bought things and then after you bought them, you realize, well, let me just put it in a way you'll understand. How many have ever gone to Sam's? You would be surprised how many things I buy at Sam's that I should not buy at Sam's. Because it's just emotions. And then you get it. All right, I'll tell that story. All right. The other day, remember how I've been having a problem with peanut brittle?
Yeah.
That peanut brittle demon?
Yeah.
The other day, I was in Sam's And I ran into Pastor Jerry and Miss Kay. And we were in the, somehow we ended up in the candy aisle. I don't know. He was looking for gum. Yeah, I wasn't, I don't know, I just followed him. I was being led by the wrong thing. And I just followed him, you know. I had my cart, they had their cart, you know. I was already there. Oh. I was already there. Is that true?
Yes, and you told us over there is where that peanut brittle is.
And I told you. Now, remember how many times I was avoiding that? How many remember that? Well, Miss K has to point out, it's on discount. It's a tub this tall and it's $10. It was for $3 and something. Well, did you say that? I came out with three. And you know, when I got home, I thought, what did I do that for? I'm trying to not eat that stuff. And so, anyway. What do you think, Preston? He got some of it. All right. I was smart enough to start. Huh?
45 students shared
it. Okay, I was smart enough to give one of them away. I ate one, almost ate one, got one in the cabinet, gave one away. Anyway, my point is, you know, how many of you, if you're like me, I've never seen a puppy I didn't want to bring home. How many have ever brought a puppy home and then realized this was a dumb decision? So you might even, oh, let's pray about it. Oh, I believe it's God. I don't think you spent enough time to hear. You know what I'm saying? You just went by what you wanted, right? See, that's what happens. Amen. See, emotional decisions, I like to say this, they don't ever stand the test of time and they don't weather the storms of life. They will fall apart on you when the heat comes on. And see, a lot of times it's real easy. Matter of fact, you have to, and I'll talk about this a little bit, you have to really stay in the Spirit and stay full of the Word and stay full of the Spirit of God to really sometimes discern what's just your emotions and what's God. Because, you know, what seems good, see, when the apostles were saying it seemed good to us, they weren't saying it seemed good to their emotions. They're talking about the man on the inside. It seemed good to their spirit man. We're the Holy Spirit who bears witness with our spirit, see. He cooperates with our spirit. Joint testifies with our spirit that, yeah, this is God, see. So you may have a plan in your mind, and but your spirit, you know, you got to check down deep down in here, because the Holy Spirit's down in here and He'll agree with it or He'll disagree with it. So we have to just be open that, you know, sometimes our greatest plans He doesn't agree with. So we can't be led by ourselves. We can't be led by our emotions or our flesh. And number three, we can't be led by the devil and his agents. See, a lot of people don't realize this, but you need to leave the horoscope alone. You need to leave all. See, a lot of this is creeping up in America about, you know, call, you know, this one or that one, the 900 numbers or whatever they are to get psychic help and all that. Those people may not know this, but they're the devil's agents. And God doesn't want you being led by the devil or his agents. You don't need to know what your sign is. Your sign is that you're a believer. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And you don't need to be led by these external things. Don't be led. See, now thank God for, like I said, I've had confirmation, don't misunderstand me, from God, outward confirmation, but it's got to bear witness of what I got on the inside of me. You know, for instance, when I was going to start this church, you know, way back in 1995, the Lord spoke to me about it in 1994. I was praying on a Thursday afternoon in April, and the Lord said to me, he really spoke to my heart. He said, I want you to spend some time with me. I got some more things I want for you to do in ministry. Well, I just thought He meant, because at that time, we were having meetings in churches. We were having full gospel meetings, which that was a bigger thing back then. Women's Aglow, which that was going back then. We would have meetings in hotels, you know, just wherever. And that's all we were doing. I wasn't pastoring, and I never intended on ever pastoring again. I'd been associate pastor with Brother Eddie Willis at the Revival Center for a number of years and all. But that's a little different than being the pastor. The buck didn't just stop with me. It stopped with him. But I helped him and assisted him, and he helped me a lot. And so, you know, I'd done that. And now I'm doing this traveling thing, and I like that because there's not as much responsibility. And so, you know, I'm feeling good about this. I like this, and you know, and I'm just praying one evening afternoon because the Lord said I got some more for you to do. Well, I thought it more direction and traveling and all that, and He spoke to me just as clear as could be. I couldn't have made this up. I couldn't have thought it up. He said, I want you to go to Newburgh, Indiana and start a church. Well, I couldn't have thought that up because I didn't know Newburgh existed. I had to find it. And then I said, well, why would you want me to go there? I don't know anybody there. And I didn't think I'd ever been here, but one time I got off the Lord Expressway and went the wrong way and started coming into some kind of town here. Well, this is Evansville, but we started in Newburgh. And I came into the outskirts of Newburgh, that you know edge there. It was a two-lane highway then. And so I thought, well, I don't know what this town. Now this must be New Harmony. And turned around and went back. That's all I knew about Newburgh. And I didn't even know it was Newburgh. So see, I didn't think that up because I didn't know anything about it. I wouldn't have done that. I would have sent me someplace where I knew some people. You know what I'm saying? And so the Lord spoke that to me. And, you know, my thought was man, that doesn't register with me. That doesn't. Why would I want to do that? I never lost anybody there. I never left anything there. Why would I want to go there? But I knew I'd heard from God. And so the next thing I told the Lord, I said, well, you're going to have to tell Phyllis because she's not going to like this. Because we just bought a house out in the country. We'd probably been there 2 years, and she loved this place. She would come home with the nights. I've told you this story before, but it's the truth. She'd come home with the nights, you know, after she'd get off work. She worked for Kimball in the offices at Kimball International. And she would come home, and I'd hear her walk in the door. She'd go, it's wonderful, it's wonderful. And she wasn't talking about me. She was talking about this house. We had 40 trees. It set up on a hill. It had a back porch swing. It's just a relaxing place and so forth and all. And for us, it was a good place, you know. And we were happy there. And I thought, well, you're going to have to tell Miss Wonderful because, you know. So, you know, I never did tell her. Not for a long time, I didn't tell her. I just kept praying about it. Finally, one day, we just went out for a drive one time. It came down to Newburgh. Went down to that restaurant, you know, that's on the water. It was called it's got its name, but it's called the Edgewater or something at the time. And yeah, and then they changed their name to the Landing, or maybe it's called the Landing then or something. I don't know. But anyway, his honor, I took her to the restaurant there, and I said, how you like this town? We drove around a little bit, you know. I didn't even tell her why I was doing it. I just did it. I'm just trying to work this in. And I said, yeah, how you like this town? She said, I like Jasper better. Well, that's going well. Praise God. Now, I don't even remember when I did tell her. But eventually I had to tell her. But she told me, she said, I knew it all along. So she just leading me along there. But anyway, my point was, what I was going to say was, see, the Lord began to deal with me. But see, I just didn't just jump on that and just run and go do that. See, I'm going to cook this in the oven a while. And so time went on. I prayed about it. You know, I didn't tell anybody about it. She knew about it. My mother knew about it. My mother's pastor knew about it. He was praying with us about it. And that's it. That's all that knew about it. None of our friends knew it. None of our family members other than that knew it, unless it leaked out somewhere I didn't know. Nobody knew about it, you know, that we told anybody. We just kept it secret, you know, and just kept praying about it and talking to God about it, you know, and so forth, and trying to talk Him out of it. And I remember it was like 1995. It was the summer of 1995. We were getting ready to go to camp meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, you know, Phyllis stayed home. I was going to church. I was going to Pastor Debbie Davis's church in Lagodi. And on a Thursday night, she had midweek service. And I was going up there, and Phyllis stayed home. She said, I'm going to get stuff ready for us to leave. And so I'm driving up there. On the way up there, I said, Lord, I said, look, you're asking me to leave the ministry that I have here. You're asking me to change my ministry direction. You're asking me to leave the house. We just had it for 2 years. I said, you know, I got to have some more confirmation. I got to have more confirmation. Well, how many know God doesn't have to do that? How many know if He's told you by the inward witness, that's all you need. But I tricked Him that night. The only night God's ever been tricked. You know I'm saying this humorously. How many know that?
Yeah.
And with fear and trembling like the Apostle Paul, that I don't get. God takes it that way. It's just humor. But honestly, really, I go to that meeting and Pastor Debbie gets up, you know, And she's and I've you know I we only lived about a half hour away at the time, maybe not even half an hour away. So on the way up there, I'm driving by myself, and I'm just saying, God, I got to have more. You're asking me to do a lot here. You're asking me to change everything. And I said, I got to have more confirmation than this. And I'm driving up there, and I get up there. Now, Pastor Debbie knows nothing about it. Even though they're good friends of ours, we haven't told them a thing about it. We haven't breathed a word about it. I'm still hoping it'll go away. And so when we get up there, I get up there. Pastor Debbie, you know, at the end of praise and worship, she stands up. She says, somebody just asked God for more confirmation. Well, I just had. A little bit before praise and worship started. Somebody just asked God for more confirmation. He said to tell you, you don't need any more confirmation. And he said to give you Acts 22:16. Anybody know what Acts 22:16 says? In the King James, it says, arise, why tarriest thou? Well, I guess I turned white. Now, I didn't stand up and say, it's me, Jonah's here. I didn't do that. I just sat there like wonder who that's for. That for you, brother? You better get with it. I'm telling you, God, you better with God's getting impatient with you. You better get going. But I guess I must have looked funny because soon as service was over, she immediately made a beeline to me and said, what was that about? I said something like, did I look like it was me? Said, you changed, your face changed. So what's that about? I said, we'll all, me and you and Greg will have to go out to eat, and I'll have to tell you now. I had to tell her then. You know, so that was, that's pretty radical confirmation, right? Yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah. But did you know that's not the way God leads us most of the time?
Right.
Now, once he said that to me, I mean, I hit the bushes, man. I started looking for a building. I didn't know how to start a church. I never started one. Well, we started a teaching center. It turned into a church. But I never just started one from scratch. All I knew to do is somebody asked me one time, well, how do you start a church? I said, get a building. Put a sign on it. Announce, da-da-da-da, we're here. You'll find out that da-da-da-da, they don't care. You know, God knows what he's doing, though, doesn't he? We talk about timing. We started our church, and 2 weeks later, another spirit-filled church in town closed down because the pastor had health problems. And not all of it, but some of those people started coming to our church and stayed, for the most part, for a long time. Some of them passed on. Amen. And so, you know, here's the thing. The main thing is God leads us. He wants to lead our lives. Now, I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 47. Go there. How do we know if he's leading our lives? Well, there's signs. There's signs. Isaiah chapter 48. Go there. Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48. You found it? All right. Verse 17. Isaiah 48:17. Thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches you to profit. How many know God wants you to profit? Which leads you by the way that you should go. Now go to Isaiah chapter 58. I think it is Isaiah 58. Yeah, you're in Isaiah 48. Go 10 chapters over, Isaiah 58. And it says in Isaiah 58:11, and the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. See, if the Lord's leading you, how many know if he's leading you, it's going to profit your life. It's going to bless your life. It's going to turn out well. Now, that's not to say that you won't have challenges. That's not to say that you won't have adversity, but overall, you're going to have the peace of God in your life, and your life is going to be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. And see, I've seen people that I knew they were getting out of the will of God for their life, and sometimes you can tell them, and sometimes you can't. You just have to discern, you know. Not everybody's open to hear what you have to say. So I've just discerned that over the years. Used to, when I was a young preacher, I'd just tell you whether I thought you wanted to know it or not. You know, I learned over the years that that doesn't work. You know, you got to discern whether the... You see, I've learned as a pastor, there are some people I'm their pastor, there's some people I'm their teacher. Now, if I'm their pastor, I can speak into their life. If I'm their teacher, I can just teach them, and that's all I can do. See? So, and that's not up to me. That's up to the people. But that's that way. There's some people will listen to you, some people won't. And sometimes, you know, you're able to help people, but there's sometimes people that you know they're going the wrong direction with their life. You just know they're going the wrong direction. See? So you don't see we have to be open. All of us have to be open that we could be missing it. Amen. And so, you know, and so I've seen people marry people, and I thought, man, I wish they wouldn't marry them, you know, and then that doesn't turn out right, you know. And then sometimes they're open for you to tell them, and sometimes they get mad if you tell them, and you just got to discern, you know, are they going to listen or are they not going to listen, you know.
Amen.
Amen. Because see, this thing about marriage is, how many know you got to. You got to go deeper than just the outward appearance. Isn't that right? Oh, but they are hot looking, Pastor. Well, maybe so, but take a look at her mother. Why would I do that? Because that's what she's going to look like. Can you still live with her? Was that too frank or too blunt? But all right. Well, he's hot, man. I mean, you know, he's got a hairy chest and a gold chain and a tan. We'll take a look at his dad. He's got a beer belly, bald-headed, and a tarnished chain and white hair. That's what he's going to look like. Because time does it to all of us.
Yeah, amen.
You know, I was thinking the other day, I was thinking about one of our family members, and he's pretty slim, and I'm thinking, how does he eat like he eats, and yet he stays slim? And if I eat like he eats, I get bigger. And the Lord, you know, I started to say the Lord said, the Lord didn't tell me this. I just got to thinking about it. You know, you keep doing that for a number of years, and it starts adding on, see? And I thought, you know what? One day he's going to look like me. He keeps doing this. You know, it's because things add up. So things change. So you understand. See, you have to make sure that, do I feel peace about it on the inside? See, not just excited about it. That's why sometimes you have to wait. If you're making a major decision, sometimes you got to wait. Like, should I do this or should I, you know, take this job or buy this house or marry this person? Or how many, sometimes you gotta, well, like for instance, you know, if you're planning on spending a lot of money.
Come on now.
So, you know, so sometimes you just gotta walk away from the car. How many know that?
Amen.
Are you with me now? See, I heard one minister say, he said, I pulled into a car lot to look at a car one time. The guy salesman came out and said, can I help you? He said, no, I'm just looking. He said, that's the way it starts. That's the way it starts. See, what you got to do? Sometimes you got to just back away. I've done that with purchases before, and I think, man, oh, man, I'm excited about it. And you could talk yourself, hey, this has got to be God. I couldn't have this much peace over this 65-inch TV. That's got to be God. They make them bigger than that now, right? I'm behind the times. 80-something. How many understand what I'm talking about? Okay, if you don't, I'm going to keep you for another half an hour, so you better understand what I'm talking about. See, you got to take some time. Why? Because you got to let your flesh settle down. Sometimes you just got to pray in the Spirit for a while. Amen? You know, sometimes, you know, see, listen, this may surprise you. You may not think anybody else would ever have me. It's like that one guy said, who would hire you to preach? Remember that old friend I ran into? He said, all he could think about is the days we played poker together. And he said, I hear you're a preacher now. I said, yeah. He said, well, who would hire you to preach? Well, believe it or not, you believe it or not, I've had other offers. Y'all look shocked. I remember one, bigger church, paid for. And I knew some of the people in the congregation, you know, and all. And, you know, more money, more money. You know, everything looked good. But you know what? I remember, and they said, we want to talk to you. I said, well, okay, I talked. I remember sitting there and the Lord said, did I tell you to come here? I said, no. He said, well, there's your answer. Well, praise God. How many understand what I'm talking about? Well, you wouldn't go anywhere, would you, Pastor? I'm not planning on it. Kenny's trying to shove me out with old age, but I ain't going yet. I ain't done yet, Brother Kenny. I'm teasing him. He's right, though. What he's saying's right. He isn't getting any younger. Neither am I. Someday there'll be somebody else sitting in his chair. I hope you get the gum out from underneath that, but he sticks under there. I'm teasing again. How many understand that what are we talking about anyway? Yeah. That's a good subject. Brother Ken is a good subject. Amen. But you have to sometimes you have to pray in the spirit. You have to let your emotions settle down. Amen. Because it's easy to be led by your emotions. It's easy to be led by your flesh. We've all done it. We've all made mistakes. Come on, give me just a few more minutes and I'm going to pray over you. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. See, how do we know if we're being led by God? Well, if we're being led by God, there's the peace of God to start with. Secondly, the blessing starts flowing. The blessing starts flowing. Amen. Now, in Proverbs chapter 19... So, and you understand, almost before we read that, let me say, you understand, you know, there's major decisions in our life that we need to be led by the Holy Ghost. We need to be led by the Spirit, like when I came down here. I mean, I was leaving the church I was at, I was leaving the ministry I was called to, what I was doing. Not that I still didn't do some of that, but just not the same. I still traveled some after we started the church, you know. But, you know, it was just changing the direction of everything, see? And it was like selling our home and all that, leaving where we liked and we were happy and we were blessed. You got to make sure that's God because you don't want to mess up your life. Now, it's not that God can't help you. He will. But why go through pain?
Yeah, amen.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, sure, if we miss God, how many know He'll find us, He'll help us. But why? But don't go through the misery or the pain. It's like Brother Hagin said one time, you know, he left the church because he wanted to leave and you know, things never did go right there for a while. He went out and did some things and never did go right. And he sought God, started fasting and praying. The Lord said, well, the problem is I never told you to leave to start with. You need to go back and finish what I called you to do at that church. So he had to go back to the church he resigned from and pastor it for a little bit longer. He wasn't done. Well, God knows, doesn't he? I said, he knows. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, in Proverbs 19, verse 21, it says, there are many, the King James says, devices are literally plans in a man's heart. How many know we can come up with some really good plans? Right? I mean, I've come up with some great plans for God. Am I the only one? Lord, I just believe this would work great if we did it this way. Well, we can have good plans, but listen, notice what it says. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So your plan's not going to stand. It's the counsel of the Lord that's going to stand. Hallelujah. So what does that mean? That means, well, we can't just, because people do this, ministers do this. Brother Hagin said the Lord told him. Now, here's what the Lord told him. Brother Hagin said the Lord told him, he said, many of my ministers die because they get out of God's plan. See, you know what I'm saying? Just for instance, pastors do that. They'll pastor churches. They'll come out of Bible school and they'll pastor a church. And then, you know, they'll go there for a while. They'll be there for a while. And then they get offered a better church and they don't even consult God. They just go. More money. Right? See, you can't even do that, guys, with your jobs. Just because you got offered a job over here that pays like five times as much, you may inherit a bunch of misery and pain with that job. You just don't know. You got to seek God. It could be the blessing of the Lord, but it could be a trick of the devil. Amen. God will run. You know, that's why I tell you, people that are single, you say, well, Pastor, you've never been single. You don't know what it's like. Some of you get that about noon. Oh, it's past noon. How many know we've all been there? Well, see, what happens if you get too desperate, the devil will run somebody by you that's not God. I remember prophesying to, I better not use names. I remember prophesying to a young lady one time that the Lord, because she's believing for her husband, and it's nobody in this church. He was in another church, but I was preaching there, and I prophesied to this young lady that God was working on her husband. He was working on him. And 6 years later, she said, "Where's my husband?" Because, you know, he hadn't come. But I think about, but in that 6 year, he showed up. Now, here's the thing. 6 years later, he wasn't ready.
Before.
6 years before, when I prophesied that to her, he wasn't ready. Yeah. God worked on this guy. Amen. This young lady had a list of everything she wanted in the husband. She had it written down. And this guy matched it. By the time God got done with him, he matched everything on the list. That's right. It wasn't my fault it took 6 songs. It was her long list. She hadn't have been so, you know, picky, she'd have got him quicker. She might have got him at 3.5 instead of 6. I don't know. But honestly, she had a list, didn't she, of everything she wanted in her husband. And thank God a lot of it was just spiritual. You know, he's got to be a tither. He's got to love God as much as I do, et cetera, et cetera. Got to be committed to a local church. All those things she had. He's got to be spirit-filled. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to settle. Because, you know, people say, well, they're a Christian. Well, just because they're a Christian doesn't mean you're a Christian doesn't mean you're equally yoked. Their beliefs may be far off from yours. They may call you nuts for speaking in tongues. You don't need that. You don't need that pain. So she had this list, and you know, it took a while for God to get him. The Lord said, I'm working on him, and it took 6 years. But now they're happily married, and listen to this, both are ordained ministers today. Wow. Thank God for His guidance. Amen. Now, can we look at one last scripture? We're closing. I know I went a while this morning. I was just going to go a short time, but you know, you should know that by now. If I say a short time, just get your lunch out. Ephesians, and we're closing right here. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5, 18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. That can't be any more plain than that. Don't get drunk. Wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's Paul saying? He's saying for us to be, we stay full of the Spirit, but one of the ways we stay full of the Spirit is by worshiping the Lord. Now here's what you're going to find out. If you're going to stay led by the Spirit of God, you have to be close enough to the Spirit of God to be led. Right? If I'm trying to carry on a conversation with you in this church, and you walk out the door and go over in the parking lot across the street, you're not going to hear me. You're too far away. The same thing's true. The Spirit of God, I may still be speaking, but you're not hearing. The same thing's true with the Spirit of God. If you're going to hear from the Spirit of God, you got to maintain fellowship with the things of the Spirit, see? Now, let me give you these things. I'm going to give you 4 things, and I'm closing out. All right, are you ready? 4 things that you need to know to keep His presence strong in your life. Because by keeping His presence strong in your life, you'll be able to hear that inward witness. It won't be so muddy. You'll be tuned in. Amen. Remember the days of radio? We still have radio, but most people don't listen to radio any longer. Remember the days, that's all we had. We didn't have anything else. And you had that round dial, you'd have to work on that thing to try to get the station tuned in, see, where you're picking up the reception, see. Now they're broadcasting, but you got to get on the right spot, the right frequency to get that broadcast. Amen. The same thing's true with the Spirit of God. He's broadcasting. He's trying to lead us. But you got to get yourself lined up with Him where you're hearing from Him. Amen. And then you can be led. And there's times He's led me in areas that were small, that didn't seem significant, but they brought blessing to my life. You know, don't go here. Don't do that. Don't do this. Turn here. I found a house that way to buy one time because I'm just driving and the Lord said, now listen to this, I just felt this witness. I say the Lord said, but literally it was the inward witness. I just had this witness to drive down this road. I'm driving down the highway. And I just had this witness to veer off, go up this road. It's just it was a witness of the Holy Ghost. When I got up to the road on top of the hill, there was a house up there it wasn't for sale. It was for rent and the people were sitting on the deck. And so I pulled in there and I said, hey, you want to rent this house? They said, well, we're waiting for somebody to come and look at it. They're going to rent it, but they haven't showed up. I said, hey, I'll rent it off of you. And they looked at me like, well, who in the world are you? And I said, well, I just sold my house. Do that a lot. Anyway, I just sold my house and I need a place temporary to stay. And so when I walked out, now listen, I just had a witness to go up that street. I went up that street and there set this place up on the hill. And I went into the house. Now, when I got into the house, remember I told you the Lord, He generally uses by the inward witness, but there's an inward voice. When I stepped inside that house, I heard the voice of the Lord. The Lord said, this is your house. I thought, thank you, Jesus. I like this house. So, all they're doing is renting it. And I said, you want to sell this house? Oh, no. And then, you know, the younger guy owned it, but his mom was there. And then she said, oh, no. She put the real dagger on, no. But I knew I had this house. 2 weeks later, I bought the house. Now, my point is this inward witness. It's just this inward knowing, but it brought blessing to my life because I followed it. Yeah. Hallelujah. I could have said, well, I don't know why God wants me to drive up that way. I mean, I don't have nothing up there. Well, just obey. You're not going to hurt anything, right? Now, listen to this. Let me give you these things. Come on, did you get something today? Four things that will help you keep the Holy Spirit's presence strong in your life. Number one, fellowship with God and with the things of the Spirit. When you fellowship with God and the things of the Spirit, His presence is strong in your life. When we neglect spiritual things, we become dull of hearing. Number two, we keep His presence strong by holy living. Remember, He's the Holy Spirit, not the dirty spirit, the Holy Spirit. So He likes holy things. Number three, we keep His presence strong. Come on, are you getting this? We keep His presence strong, number one, by fellowshipping with God and with the things of the Spirit. Number two, by holy living. Number three, by associations with right people, places, and things. And I wish I had time to teach on all these, but I'm just going to give them to you. I don't feel led to come back and teach on these. But by association with right people, places, and things. How many know, as a child of God, you're not supposed to be unequally yoked with wrong things. God said, if you'll cleanse yourself, I'll walk in you. I'll talk in you. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. Remember the prophet Elijah and Elisha. Elisha got a double portion of the Spirit that was on Elijah because he associated with him. Remember, he said, you know, Elijah told Elisha, ask what you will and it'll be done for you. And he said, I want a double portion of your Spirit. He said, you ask a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm gone, when I'm taken, it shall be so. In other words, you stay put and hooked up with me. Associate with right people. Amen. You know, we witness to sinners, right? We love on sinners. We lead them to the Lord. But that's not our associations. That's not who we closely associate with. How about places? Did you know places have demons? You need to stay out of certain places. How about things? Certain things we need to leave alone. They grieve the Spirit. Number four, we keep His presence strong in our life by speaking words of faith. Genesis chapter 1, we won't look at it, we're going to close, but Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was out form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, so what's happened? See, the Holy Spirit went to work when He heard faith-filled words. God said, let there be. He works on faith-filled words. The spirit realm, and you got to know this, the spirit realm is voice-activated. It's voice, and it's the voice of faith that activates it, see? Hallelujah. Now, we ought to know about that. You know, when I first started hearing about these things, we didn't have all these. When I first started teaching this, let me say this. Well, I've got a teaching called Voice Activated. But it's old. But in those days, and I'll tell you one thing that got me thinking about, Brother Kenny got me thinking about it one day, and when he was telling me, he said he got him a new cell phone, and he said, you can just speak your text into it. Well, how many know, that's old technology now, but that was cutting-edge stuff. Kenny, you didn't know this about Kenny, but he's a cutting-edge tech guy, man, I'm telling you. That's right, man. He got an email the other day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, but he got this phone, you know, and I'm thinking, man, I need that because if anybody see me type, it's like one finger type. You know how these kids get on there and they're like, man, no, man, I got to seek and destroy. You know, I thought, that's cool. And I did learn I went and got me a phone with it on there, but I did learn real quickly that, you know, you better read it before you send it. Because sometimes they don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? It's like one of our preacher friends has got a daughter, his daughter-in-law named Sarah. He was texting his daughter-in-law and his son-in-law. And he said, you tell Sarah. And when the text was sent, it said, you tell Satan. You better read them. Because when you call your daughter-in-law Satan, it does not go well with thee. Amen. But anyway, he got that. And then I had a friend, you know, and this is before. Now listen. This was even before Brother Kenny got his high-tech phone. You know, I got in a friend's car, and this is before cars did this. I mean, it wasn't before cars, but it was before cars that common people could buy. This is an expensive car. And so I get in his car, and he said, and he, you know, he wasn't bragging. He was just excited about his new car the Lord had blessed him with, and it was a nice car. And he said, let me show you some things. And so he just would talk to the car to do things, and it did things. Hallelujah. Makes you want to marry the car, doesn't it? I thought Brother Kenny's first sermon would have been the best one. But anyway, whatever. You know, the one about wives. Amen. Now, I got to go to lunch. But anyway, he would say, now watch this. He said, I will tell the CD player, you play CD number 3, track 7. So he would tell the car, play CD 3, track 7. Man, that CD player would put the third CD, because it held more than one CD, the third CD in there and play track 7. He would ask it for directions. Yeah. He'd say, well, who's going to win the game tonight? And that car knew. Okay, that's stretching it a little bit, maybe. That's a joke. But I thought, now, wait a minute here. Now, after that, no, this guy starts talking, another guy starts talking about how they're coming up with remotes. Because in those days, you know, we had VCRs and our remote. And I one thing, the writing on them is so small, you can't read the buttons. You can't read what they say. It's too small. And next thing, you know, it gets complicated, program thing. But they started making remotes that you could speak to the remote and it would tell the TV what to do. And I got to thinking, you know what? The spirit realm's voice activated. Wow. We speak, angels move. We speak, demons move. They get out of our way. See, we speak and things start happening. Hallelujah. And when we speak words of faith, the Spirit of God, He responds to that. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.